So let me start out by saying it is happening again. And none of us has any control over it. There's not a thing we can do to stop it. And even if we tried, people would just laugh at us and then push us out of the way. Y'all, Thanksgiving is being ignored. Right? You see?
Yes.
Y'all know what I'm saying is true, don't you?
Yes.
It is. I mean, maybe it's a conspiracy. I don't know. Because just as soon as all the Halloween candy and costumes and spooky yard art have been either removed from the shelves or they've been put in this shopping buggy up in front of the store to really reduce price, Christmas stuff comes out. In many places, it's already been out before. It's already there. It has been for weeks. Santas and wreaths and Grinches with hats on and strings of lights and glittery trees taking up all the room in the store. And where, I ask, is Thanksgiving? I mean, except for every now and then you can find some paper napkins and paper plates with pumpkins on them, or maybe they've got an extra supply of cranberries in the grocery store, and the frozen turkeys back in the bag, and maybe at Walmart there'll be some kind of newfangled pot to fry a turkey in, you know? Except for that stuff. Where are the shelves of items to help us celebrate being thankful? That's what I want to know. Where's the praise shelf? It's not there. There's no cute merchandise to help us celebrate being thankful. It's just not there. So we'll get around the Thanksgiving table. And I'm afraid that in many cases, the conversation is going to be arguments over politics, or it's going to be arguments over phones. And the decoration might be a few leaves or a turkey, or maybe you'll have one of those little pilgrim salt and pepper shakers. That's what I have at my house for Thanksgiving. But the main decoration might be a pad and pencil next to each place to make a list for Black Friday. I want to stand up for Thanksgiving today. I just want it on the record. I love Thanksgiving. I love communicating with my grandmother Cheryl, who has certainly gone on many, many, many years ago, on how much nutmeg and how much cinnamon to put in the pumpkin pie. I love talking with my mama, who made the best cornbread dressing in the world, and just kind of bargaining with her and saying, please, will you this time just help me a little bit so I can finally make it as good as you did? I love those moments. And I love the moments, even though they're brief, of going around the table and sharing what we're thankful for. Do y'all do that at your houses? I mean, the kids think that's dumb. I think it's really hokey to do that. Oh, Marty, I don't want to do that. They seem to think that we deserve everything we have. They seem to think that we've earned it, or it just comes to us naturally. But not me. I know better, and I bet you do too. See, Thanksgiving is a time that we're supposed to remember that we are not our own. It's God who has made us. We've not made ourselves. I saw a Facebook of a neighbor across the street has a brand new grandbaby, little boy named Case. And the pictures were in the delivery room just 5 minutes after he was born. I thought, that's really an invasion of privacy. Here's this little baby all straggled out like this, born in the world, his eyes looking around going, where am I? We don't make ourselves. We can't create ourselves. We're just little infants when we're born. It's a difficult lesson to hear, and even more difficult to get across in a culture that encourages us to be self-made men and women. Climb to the top. Do the best you can. It's a culture where most of us seem to believe that popular saying. It's my life to live. And I'll live it the way that I want to. That's not what the Bible says. And And it's my job to stand here and tell you what the Bible says. It insists that our lives are simply not our own. Genuine life is found not in who we are or what we have. Genuine life is found in submission to God. In biblical terms, we live to praise God, to live is to praise God, and to praise God is to live. You can't do one without the other, without being a miserable human being. I mean, here's the deal. To live one's life praising anything or anyone other than God, and that includes praising ourselves, can make a mess of everything. And we can miss it all. So, I gotta tell you, I can't do a lot about Walmart and Target and Home Depot. They're gonna use the sales strategies and the patterns that they want to. That's gonna stay just as it is. But I can do one thing. I can lead us here at this church during this month of November in giving Thanksgiving its fair shake. And in thanking the one who has made us, and in praising him and worshiping him and celebrating what it means to be truly thankful. So for these next three weeks until Thanksgiving, we're going to just celebrate it. We're going to celebrate praise and joy and gratitude in our worship. We're not going to eat turkey, and we're not going to eat pumpkin pie, not until the big day. But we are going to celebrate life. Now, there are a few more things we have to think about before we can really do that. One of them is that we have to remember that a good life is so much more than what we actually achieve. You know, it's not about what we possess. It's not about what we control. It's not about how much money we make or what kind of leadership position we have. Life is full of mystery. That's what life is. It's mystery. Life is amazement. Life itself is sacrament. And it's sacrament because it's a gift from God. When we look at life in that way, I mean, how can we do anything else but praise the one who made us? And what better psalm than Psalm 100 that Jackie just read for us? This is a psalm that encourages us not to be silent in the presence of God. It's a psalm that tells us to shout out loud, right? I'm sure this is where some of the churches that dance up and down the aisles and do the shout, I'm sure this is the scripture, one of the scriptures that comes from. We want God to know how thankful we are for all God has done for us. And so the scripture says, shout out to the Lord, make a joyful noise. And the truth is that we do that all the time, even though we don't know it. Listen, how many times have you said, oh, come here, would you look at that sunset? Oh my gosh, look at those colors. I wish it would stay that way forever. Or it is the most beautiful day. Oh, I just feel like I could just stay here forever. It's just perfect. Listen to the birds sing. Feel the breeze on your face. Or the baby's here. He's here. He's got 10 fingers and he's got 10 toes. It's a miracle. Or we might say, you know, look, there are 100 million billion stars up there in the sky and all the universe, and yet the God who created them knows me and how many hairs I have on my head and what's going on in my heart. I thought that car was going to hit me. Thank you, Lord. I mean, we shout out and praise the Thanksgiving to God all the time, probably every day. Y'all just kind of pay attention to it and think about it. And this psalm reminds us that we are to do exactly that. But not only are we to shout out in our everyday life, but we are to shout out in worship too. Psalm 100 is categorized as a psalm of praise for God's people as they worshiped together in the temple. Special and holy days, when they had special services, they would dance in to the temple together. I hate to let y'all know this because, you know, no pressure. But they would dance in there together, and they would sing this psalm as they entered the place of worship. Because we're just not good at that stuff, are we? You want me to do what? I don't think so. I mean, we've been taught to be quiet when we come to the sanctuary. But that really is not what the Bible says. It really is not. The Bible says belt it out. The Bible says belt out a grateful word. Shout it out. So we're going to try that, okay? Now, if y'all are old like me, most of you are, some of you certainly are not, but if you're old like me, you probably at one time or another memorized Psalm 100, Vacation Bible School or something. That's what I said if you're old. And you probably learned it in the King James language. All right. So we are going to just shout this out together the best that we can. We are going to imagine that we're coming into the sanctuary, that we're dancing in, that we're finding our pews, and that we're singing together. And I know it's hard because we feel even a little silly when I give you those palm fronds to shake on Palm Sunday. You know, it's like, do you want me to? I think I'll just hold it. I don't think I'm going to put my hand up and shake. That's just the way we are. But just try with feeling. Now, I have printed it. I mean, I've printed it on the front of your bulletin. So you have it. You have it. This is the King James Version. But I want to encourage you, if you have memorized this in your life, try not to look at it. Try to see how much of it. What you don't know, somebody else might know. I'm going to read it because I'm standing up here and I won't remember any of it. But let's just pretend that we are free, that we are offering our thanksgiving to God because God has given us everything that we have. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations.
Whoa, that was like an A+. That was awesome. That was awesome. This is the word of God. And it's the word of God for the ancient people of Israel. And it's the word of God for us this morning. And it's the word of God for our great, 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 forever, ever, ever great grandchildren. The people of God. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about different parts of this psalm that we just so beautifully recited. But today, I just want us to look at the first line. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's what we're called to do. And we do it in lots of different ways. But my question, just for today, is this. What happens if we don't feel like making a joyful noise? You been there? What happens if there's nothing joyful to make noise about? I mean, I've had lots and lots of days like that, and I know you have too. And even now in our little church family, we're dealing with illnesses and deaths and any number of little annoyances and fears in our lives. Maybe we just don't feel like singing. Maybe we just don't feel like praising Him. What do we do then? Well, here's what we do. We sing anyway. We praise anyway. Because even on our worst day, when we praise Him anyway, when we glorify and enjoy being in God's company, that means something. It means that no matter what, We trust God. We trust Him not to let go of us. We let go of our own ideas and our own prejudices and our own disappointments, and we are sure that God is there. That God is completely available. That there is never a time when God is not available to us. See, when we praise Him anyway, no matter how lousy we might feel, somehow we are full of dignity. When we praise Him anyway as a congregation, there are no divisions among us. When we praise Him anyway, there is a new breath of life. There are new possibilities. There's resurrection. Honest and genuine praise is never, never a departure, something that we would do out of the ordinary, but it's always an arrival at the place where we ought to be. You remember in Revelation where it talks about that throne room? The throne room. Praising God is being in that throne room of God, where praise and thanksgiving are the only thing on the agenda. And there is room left for nothing else. Reverend Stephen Miller is a pastor in the United Methodist Church way out in Colorado. And he shared this story about a recent vacation that he had had with his wife. And he said it was a vacation that they would never forget. He didn't say this, but it sounded like the vacation from hell to me. But, he said, we just got back from a vacation that we will never forget because it was disastrous. He said, the first time that the power steering pump in the truck whipped, we were fortunate to be safe in a parking lot waiting for a tow truck. The second time it went, we felt lucky to be only 20 miles west of the same town, waiting by the side of the road, waiting for the train to go by. So that second time the power steering went out, they were waiting by the side of the road, staring at the beautiful scenery, taking silly pictures. It sounds like they're newlyweds to me, taking silly pictures of each other. He said, we laughed as we bounced along the highway in our little pickup truck secured by heavy chains on top of the tow truck. You can just picture it. The third time the power steering went out, now it's now the third day of their 7-day vacation. They're in the same town. He said, the third time the joy disappeared. And when the transmission of the loaner car that we used to retrieve our second car from home in order to continue our road trip refused to start, he says, it was time for simmering rage. He said, my wife feared the worst. He said that I just lose it and that I would never recover from this latest insult to my ego, and that I would just give up and never step foot in the church again, be changed forever. But finally, he says, we're on our way once again. They were in her little car. It was trustworthy, but they were all scrunched up in there, but they were going. And he said when they got back on the road, she put in an old and much played CD that she had in her car. It was old gospel songs set to marvelous instrumentation and marvelous harmonies. The scowl on my face, he said, softened just a little bit as that first song came on. It was one that his mom and dad had loved so much. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. And then he said during the next song, never will give up. Oh no, I never will give up. He said, mad as I was, my toe began to tap just a little bit. And then he said that the next tract, I don't know this one, but evidently they know it in Colorado. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. He said that one had him singing out loud in spite of himself, belting out his bass harmonies. Said his wife glanced over at him out of the corner of her eye. She was afraid to move too much. And he said, I saw her glance over, but a smile was too much. I just wasn't able to give a smile at this point. But I could feel the cloud beginning to rise just a little bit. He said, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I did not have the strength to resist. The music got to me. The joy would pick me up, and the journey would continue. Our own John Wesley talks about an experience a little bit like that at Aldersgate, when he was like down in the dumps as far as you can possibly get, thinking that his life was worth nothing. And there was a prayer meeting at the church on Aldersgate, and he didn't want to go, and his buddies had to come and almost literally pull him out by the hand. Did not want to go, but he went in there, and that's where he talks about his heart being strangely warmed. And he knew at that point, he knew that God knew who he was and God was with him. And that's the reason that we are here as the United Methodist Church today. So y'all, that's the message. Don't ignore Thanksgiving. Praise it anyway. Even on the worst of days, and we all have them, even on the worst of days, when the pain and the hurt and the anger seem to take over, just stop and listen. Just listen for the bark of a dog. Or listen for the laugh of a child. Look at the trees swaying in the wind, or the shape of a cloud, or the blooms on your Christmas cactus on those days when God seems so very far away. And even when to say thank you seems like the craziest thing in the world, do it anyway. Make yourself do it. Praise him anyway. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, for he is good and kind. And right there with you, whether you know it or not, smack dab in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through. He's not going to leave you. And even in those times when you can't do any of that, just know he is never, never going to let you go. And all God's people thankfully said,
Amen.